And David and Sue are going to come and bring our reading to us, and then after that, Martin will come and speak.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis 3, verses 1 to 13. Genesis 3, 1 to 13, and it's titled Human Disobedience. Now the snake was the most cunning animal that the Lord God had made. The snake asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat fruit from any tree in the garden?" "We may eat the fruit from any tree in the garden," the woman answered, "except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die." The snake replied, "That's not true. You will not die. God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you will be like God and know what is good and what is bad." The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat, and she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate it. As soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. That evening they heard the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" And the man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit and I ate it." And the Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it."
The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house. And when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for your word, for all that we've heard this morning about your amazing love. Lord God, it's a familiar story that we've read. But let us not become complacent with the message that it holds. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds to receive afresh your message of love and forgiveness for each one of us. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today we mark the third Sunday in Advent. And we're going to continue with our mini-series that we've called Someone to Believe In, based on the film Miracle on 34th Street. You may remember 2 weeks ago that Lisa kicked the series off looking at seeds of faith. And we were reminded that in a world of darkness, God shines a light through Jesus. We need to allow Jesus to nurture the seed of faith in us so that it grows and enables us to plant the seed of faith into others. And then last week, although not part of the series, Jim Hamilton, our moderator, spoke about the uniqueness of Jesus, looking at both his divinity and his humanity. Jesus was free from any sin because of the nature of his conception, and yet he was fully human because of the nature of his birth. So this week we move back to Someone to Believe In and turn our attention to friends and enemies. Now, friends and enemies is a theme that runs through the Bible. The struggle between friends and enemies becomes a reality in Genesis. And as I will explain later, it is an underlying feature of the story of the wise men. Our first reading from Genesis chapter 3 helps us to realise that all through history there has been a struggle of good against evil, friend against enemy, if you like. God is the friend. It is God who creates us and wants us to live in harmony with him. God's original plan was for him to dwell with humanity as our friend. The devil, or the snake in this story, is the enemy. His purpose is to drive a wedge between humanity and God. His purpose is to disrupt the friendship, to make trouble, and to cause pain. The devil is successful on this occasion, and the divide is created between humanity and God. It's the divide that God is seeking to bridge for all of time. From the very beginning of our history, there's been a battle for our hearts. It's a battle of friend against enemy. The battle is for humanity. It's going on in a spiritual dimension, but its effects are very much evident in the physical dimensions of our lives. Time and time again through history, God has sought to be reconciled with his creation. God has sought to be friends with people. Time and time again, the devil has taken on the role of the enemy and has sought to spoil and disrupt God's plans and our relationship with him. Humanity is like the rope in a cosmic game of tug of war. And we are asked to choose between friend and enemy. The problem is that the enemy doesn't play to the same rule book as God. And he is more than happy to deceive, to mislead, to manipulate people and to manipulate situations to make sure that the relationship between humanity and God stays messed up. This is the same for us as individuals. God wants to be friends with each one of us. He knows us by name. He knows all there is to know about us. And still wants to be our friend. To walk with us. To support us. To laugh with us. But to cry with us too. But each one of us, if we choose to be friends with God, faces a lifetime of tug of war as the enemy, the devil, seeks to disrupt and to spoil that friendship. In just the same way that God uses people around us to support us and care for us, so too does the devil use those around us to manipulate, spoil, and disrupt our friendships with God. It can be very difficult at times to really work out who are our friends and who are our enemies. It can be tough to know who we can trust. There will be times as friends of God in which we will have to make a stand or to speak out on an issue. There will be times when we have to behave in a way that is counter to that which those around us want to go. And this is going to cause us pain and difficulty. There will be times, sadly, when those we thought of as friends will feel more like enemies when our paths have to go in different ways. You know, it was a famous philosopher called Eminem who said, "If you have enemies, good. That means you stand up for something." Quite profound for him. As Christians, we stand for something. As Christians, we trust in God and believe that his plans are the best for our lives. That means we will make an enemy of the devil. You know, sometimes it can be difficult to know who we can trust. The people we think are on our side, the people we think we can trust, can let us down, either by their action or perhaps even worse, by their inaction. And when this happens, it can really hurt us. It can also really surprise us too, because we just didn't expect that particular person to behave in the way that they did. We can find that we have unexpected friends, but also we may have unexpected enemies too. In the movie that we are linking to this year, Miracle on 34th Street, we get a glimpse of this problem as Chris Kringle, it's hard for me to say, gets tricked and others around him are used by his enemy to hurt him. Chris Kringle was keen to help others, and in standing up for a friend, he's made an enemy of a guy called Mr. Sawyer. Mr. Sawyer is influential and is devious and uses his influence. As the clip ends, we see that Chris Kringle is a broken man. He does not know who he can trust. The last words he says are, "Did she know?" He means Mrs. Walker. He thought that he could trust her, that she believed in him. But here he feels crushed, and as he is led to believe that she was all part of the plan and she knew what was going on. Now, our second reading this morning picks up the idea of unexpected friends and unexpected enemies. Anyone reading Matthew's account of the wise men for the first time, might expect that Herod would be the friend and that the wise men might be the enemy. You would think that Herod, the nominal king of Israel, would be used by God to protect and encourage the Saviour of the world. At last, the prophecy would be fulfilled, and the nation of Israel would be restored. And the wise men, these foreigners, these travellers from a distant land, would surely represent harm and danger for the baby. What purpose could they have other than to cause trouble and hardship? But as we see in the story, it's the other way round. As Herod discovers what is happening, he becomes angry and greedy and full of hatred. The enemy is using him and all his power and influence to cause trouble and to disrupt God's plan. Herod is an unexpected enemy on one side of the rope. The wise men on the other end are on the other end of that rope in the tug of war. God is using them to encourage the family, to validate the mission of Jesus as Saviour to the world, and to be the unexpected friends of Jesus. That cosmic tug of war that started in the Garden of Eden is still going on here in this passage. God reaches out in friendship to the world through Jesus, and the enemy tugs back hard on the rope, trying to disrupt things through the greed and lust for power of humanity. So through the unexpected friendship of the wise men and their willingness to follow the plans of God and not go back to Herod, Jesus is safe and God's rescue plan can continue. The wise men went back to their country having encountered the living God and been changed by him. And although we're not told that by Matthew, I want to believe that their journey was more than just a sightseeing trip. It was a journey of discovery, a journey of fulfillment, of finding something worthwhile to believe in and being changed because of that experience. But in the video, in our story of Miracle on 34th Street, things are very different. The problem for Kris Kringle is that he did not know who he could believe in anymore or who he could trust. His faith in humanity had been dented and he had felt abandoned and alone. But he found that there was someone he could believe in, someone who he could trust to sort out the mess. Kris Kringle believed in Mr. Gailey to set him free and to put things straight. Kris Kringle put all his faith and trust into that man. If you want to know what happens next, you're either going to have to come back next week, or you're going to have to go and buy the DVD, because we're not going to tell you today. What is more important is the image that this story gives us, perhaps into God and his desire to be our friend, and the lengths that he will go to sort things out and to put things right. You see, God wants us to have the same level of faith and trust as Kris Kringle had in Mr. Gailey. God wants us to be able to put our trust in him, to put our faith in him, to rescue us. It is because God is our friend, it is because God loves us that he sent his son Jesus into the world as a baby to take on human form, to experience life as a human, and through his humanity connect with us again. God sends us Jesus to give us someone to believe in, someone we can trust in, and someone who will identify with us and with our struggles. He is the friend that we can rely on and be certain, even when others let us down. The struggle between friend and enemy continues. The struggle was there at the beginning. It's been present throughout history. It was there at the very birth of Jesus, as our second reading reminds us. God reaches out in friendship to his world. Not just a nation anymore, but God reaches out in friendship to the whole world, to all that would believe and trust in him. And we know this because of the wise men. They represent to us God's message of hope being given to the entire world, not just to a few. The enemy fights back by trying to remove the gift that God has given to us. He tries this through the hands and schemes of Herod, but he fails. We have someone to believe in, but the tug of war for our lives continues. Because this tug of war continues, we need to be on our guard. There are many ways in which the enemy will work against us to try and distract us and to divert us from God's plans. It is likely that he will try to use people around us, people we are connected to, or perhaps situations that we are involved in. He wants to mess things up, and he wants us to lose our faith or trust in God. We need to be aware of our friends, and we need to be aware of our enemies. Who are those that are working for our good, standing with us, walking alongside us? Those who can be, who we can trust? Or who are those that are holding us back, misleading us? It might be that we find that we have some unexpected friends. And sadly, we might too find that we have some unexpected enemies. If we are always mindful of God's will and we use that as the baseline for our decision making, it will become clear when the enemy is starting to plot against us. But how do we remain in tune with God? Through reading our Bibles, through prayer, speaking and listening to God, through reflection, in pausing to be still so that we can hear God even as a whisper. We stay in tune by talking with others, from learning together and by sharing with one another. We follow the example of Jesus. We live our lives as he has shown us. Jesus is the someone that we can believe in. He is the greatest friend we can ever have. The Christmas story is a sign of hope for the world. It is a story of friendship and trust. We can trust Jesus to bring us back to God. We can believe in him and in his promises. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for the gift that you've given us in your Son Jesus, the greatest friend that we can ever have. The greatest sign of a promise of your love for each one of us. Father God, we thank you that you love us enough to fight for us, to be involved in this cosmic tug of war, as it were, to keep us connected to you. Lord God, as we read the stories, these familiar stories of the birth of Christ, as we draw closer to Christmas, help us to remember your love for us. Help us to remember the lengths that you will go to stay connected with us. Help us to remember that you are our friend. Help us too to be on our guard for the attacks of the enemy, for the things that he will try and do to distract us, to disrupt us, to turn us away from you, to take our focus away from your love and from your Son. Lord God, we pray that you would protect us, that you would keep us strong, that you would help us to discern our friends, to keep them close, to seek wisdom and guidance, and to always keep walking in your path. Father God, we just thank you for your love and for your friendship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.